Miller and Condon.
Ken Miller.
Oh, mama!
Trent Condon.
Four.
This is Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station. 106.3 KXNO.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Miller and Condon on a Tuesday, final day of January, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3. KXNO's Trent Condon and Ken Miller talking sports with you for the next couple of hours. Here's what's coming up on the BMW of Des Moines guest list. We'll start toward the bottom of the hour with our friend Wade Looking Bill. We'll preview the Big Ten second place team. That's true. I didn't believe it either. I had to double check. Northwestern sits in second place in the standings as they come into Carver tonight to take on those Hawkeyes. It's an 8 o'clock tip. Big Ten Network has it. The reschedule of the postponement from a couple of weeks back. But Wade Looking Bill will be here in about 25 minutes. Then Shelby Mast in his first of weekly appearances. He is our bracketologist, our go-to bracketology guy. His site is bracketwag.com. This morning, Iowa State remains on the three line. Iowa in a play-in, 11 against Arizona State, according to Shelby. So he will be here. Lots of questions. Big 12, SEC Challenge, some of the movers and shakers after that. This event transpired last weekend. In hour number two, we'll start with Adam Emenecker. Boys, a big game at the Knapp Center tomorrow night, an in-state battle, the Panthers and the Bulldogs. It is televised, but boy, if there's a way, folks, if you can get out and want to see the hometown team, I'd love to have a full house or as many people as they can over at the Knapp Center, and they deserve it. Both of the in-state schools playing very well. Panthers, Bulldogs tomorrow night. Adam Emenecker, sponsored by Doco Pizza Company over in the Drake neighborhood. He'll join us at 12:05. And then we'll talk Big 12 with our friend Matt Postens from Heartland College Sports. He will get off the air. And within minutes, the Big 12 football schedule will be released. So that happens today at 1 o'clock. I'm anxious to see if there's any schedule leaks that come out prior to that. Mm-hmm. You know, as much as anything, I just want to see who they line up each of the schools with on the final weekend. Or even if the final week 12 or week 13, whatever it is, final week of the regular season, if they do try to, you know, make that a rivalry weekend. Mm-hmm. And who do they match up with, particularly here, with Iowa State? And the new schools coming in, the old schools all staying the same, but it should be some fun to kind of dissect through that once it comes on later this afternoon. I'm sure we'll have a few minutes tomorrow morning.
Who's it going to be? Who would be the rivalry for Iowa State? Because, I mean, there's easy ones, right? Cincinnati and West Virginia.
Yep.
Proximity.
Yep.
It is going to be Kansas State.
Yep, Houston and one of the Texas schools.
Right, I would say TCU and Baylor would probably stay together.
Maybe.
And then you'd put Tech and Houston maybe together.
Maybe.
And that leaves BYU. Does that turn into a rivalry?
Well, I mean, it's had its moments. The basketball game that was played there a couple of years ago, that was spirited,
it absolutely
to say the
was.
Least.
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe that's it.
You know, it's a fan base, the BYU fan base, they're different. It's a different kind of fan base. So on my podcast on the Locked On Network, our BYU guy, I mean, he talks about that a lot. We have kind of this Slack channel that, you know, we're talking about everything going on in our...
So help me out with this. So Locked On Network is kind of like a clearinghouse for networks, kind of like... you know, all the blogs go together. If you want to blog on sports, somebody's got a headline or
SB Nation,
yeah. Right? So that's what it is. Locked On.
Yes.
So you've got Iowa. Is there an Iowa State locked?
There
on?
Is not. No, there is. I think 71 now college teams. They've been looking to find the right fit on the Iowa State side, and that's one that they
because there's continue. A bunch of Iowa State. What do you call them? Podcasters out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And looking for that right fit. But yeah, the BYU one, it's fun kind of keeping an eye on that. And
yeah,
obviously with the move into the Big 12. And he talks a lot about the fan base gets very rankled if you have anything negative to say. And as
sounds
a podcast
like fan base, we know.
Uh-huh. And they get very upset. Maybe, yeah, they could become brethren if that happens there. But they're an interesting fan base at the very least. I mean, unfortunately... Yeah, it's not a natural rivalry.
No,
it's not when you can hop in the car and go and
right.
see. It's not a couple hours away, anything like that. It's a flight to get there.
Yep.
But That's a rivalry I think that definitely could develop throughout the years.
Well, we'll find out today. It's at 1 o'clock. It's apparently 7 weeks later than it normally is, the release of this one, but different circumstances, so got to cut them some slack. I'm not sure we can cut the basketball program that resides in Ames any slack after what we saw, an epic collapse last night, and so many people had hands in it, T.J. Otzelberger. Look, the knock on him, and we heard it when he was hired from our friends in Nevada who covered his basketball teams out there. It's just his in-game, down-the-stretch coaching, and we hadn't seen that really here. We know he was a heck of a recruiter. Last night, Trent, was just one of those, you could see it coming. You could feel it building as the minutes went down and the score kept getting closer and closer and closer. And the game goes to overtime, didn't get a good look at the end of the regulation, and then had three clanks, to try and tie the game. At the end of it there, Holmes might have hit the iron once. Yep. Out of the three. He shot two of them. Grill had the first one. Grill was unbelievable. I mean, you can't sit and criticize him. His first half was amazing. He went from a game-time decision to starting in the game and absolutely filling it up. But come on, man. You're up 23 with 12 and a half minutes left in the basketball game. Statistically, you have a 99.6% chance of winning that game, and you blow that game to a team who is looking for their first win without their two best players on the floor, and that happened? Come on.
I know analytically this is not a bad loss. Yes, they were 0-8, but power rating wise this is not a bad team, quote unquote. That's a bad loss. And you laid it out perfectly because of the reasons that were behind it, because of the big lead that you had. Under 12 minutes left. I mean, you're coasting. This is cruise
home
control.
Home free.
Run some clock.
Yeah.
Grind it out.
Yep.
Get the win.
Yep.
And get out of there.
Get the right guys on the floor.
But the turnover started mounting.
Yeah. What was Taman Lipsey thinking on a couple of... What did the announcer say? I stopped it and rewound it because I want to write it down. I have no idea what Taman Lipsey is doing. He's panicking. He looked like a freshman for the first time at times in that second
Absolutely.
Half last night.
No doubt. I mean, how many times were we having the conversation? Who'd you rather have, Taman Lipsey or Hunter right now?
Mm-hmm.
We were having that conversation. Well, now... After last night, oh yeah, he is a freshman.
Yep.
And maybe we went a little bit too far with the Lipsey love, and there's going to be these moments for any freshman.
And he had his moments last night, good ones, too.
Getting to the rim.
Getting to the rim, that blow-by, absolutely.
Yes. He was incredible on that. But turnovers, Kelscher, turnovers.
Kelscher couldn't make a three to save his life last night.
And couldn't make free throws.
Well, that's just it. The free throw, and everybody in the Big 12 knows it. I mean, if the game is close, put them on the line. They're going to miss.
Yes.
In most cases, they're going to miss. They can't shoot free throws to save their lives. It's just, that one just feels like, when we look back at this, at the grand scheme, now they could come back and be Kansas on Saturday. And obviously that would change things. Or would it? Because you'd still look at this, yeah, you got Kansas, and you finished second. But you know why I finished second? Because that January night when you went into Lubbock and got beat after holding a 23-point lead. Second time they've blown leads on the road in the second half. What were they up at Oklahoma State?
13.
13?
Yeah.
I was going to say 14. So, I mean, there was more time left before they started to collapse in Stillwater than there was last night. But
it was 16, 27-11.
Is that what it was?
That was their biggest lead.
And that one gets away. But there, I think it was 14 in the second half at one point, but regardless. Robert Jones, 18 minutes. I don't know. There's moments you look at this kid and you got to have him on the floor. There's others you're thinking, my God, what a...
just do what you're supposed to. You know, just don't try to do too much.
Mm-hmm.
That becomes the problem with Robert Jones. But this is a team loss. And
don't give me the free throws and the referee. You're on the road, for God's sake. You don't think that teams leave Hilton saying the same thing and have over the... Of course they do. It's life on the road, and I don't care what conference you're in.
Absolutely.
And if the other team's getting 37 shots, they're probably taking it to the rim, right? Instead of staying on the perimeter and trying to make a shot. Don't give me the officiating in this game.
They were putting their head down. Opener, he was getting to the rim.
Oh, my God.
Whenever he wanted. How about Harmon in the second
half? Harmon was phenomenal. I thought of the two that you just mentioned, I thought he was the guy.
And just getting into the paint and doing what they wanted. Here's something scary. We know what this program is. We know what their identity is on the defensive end of the floor. Now, over the last three games, all three opponents have scored over 1.07 points per game. That's not what this defense is. This is about holding teams under a point per possession. Mm-hmm. That is not what they've been. That defense has taken a tick of a step
back.
They
have, without a doubt.
And because of that, this is what happens. Because they're just not good enough offensively to be able to win games when the defense isn't playing at a elite level.
So good. Take me back to high school with Lipsy. Could he ever shoot the three? Because if he could develop that.
No, that was always his game.
Is that right?
The best athlete on the floor. They get out, run. Yeah. That's what they were. Really athletic team. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a pace. Could he hit open shots? Absolutely.
Right. No,
he could always do that. But it was more than anything. He was the best athlete on the floor. He could beat anybody off the dribble. He can still beat almost anybody off the dribble.
No, he can. Good. We saw it last night.
Getting the paint. But teams are going to lay off him. And they're going to give him the J.C. Holloway treatment, right?
Yes, indeed.
They're going to sit back at the free throw line and say, all right, do what you need to.
Yep.
Until you prove you can hit shots from the outside, we are going to lay back. The late game situations, those were awful. I mean, it wasn't just...
It was a bad night for TJ.
At the end of regulation, first of all, you're down three. You got to drive to the rim there with Holmes. I know there was a defender coming over, but take to the rim. He's not going to follow you. And if he does, you got a chance at a three-point play. Go up there, get the point, get the bucket. You're back within one. And then play the free throw game with them. Texas Tech, by the way, we talk about Iowa State's woes. That's the 222nd ranked team in the country in free throw shooting percentage. Play the free throw game with them. Go to the rim, get the bucket. There was 11 seconds left. There is plenty of time. Stretch that thing out, play the long game, and play the free throw game, and you have a better opportunity. And then the fourth shot by Grill, where he traveled.
Yep, that's true. He slipped. Yep, he did.
He traveled.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, that happens. Then on top of it.
He did travel, you're right.
At the end, that shot, there was 11 seconds left when in overtime. There's plenty of time. You can get something better
than that.
They
said you don't want that shot, did
no,
the announcer.
It was absolutely forced up there. Now, you can't, after they get the rebound, the tip out there, and Holmes fires up the three. It was, well, short, hit the front of the rim. You can't kill him on that one. You're just looking to get one up. I completely get that. But both those shots by Grill, they were bad shots. I know he was the only guy that could hit a three in the game. I understand.
Well, in
that.
The first half.
Yeah. But
the second half, he just went cold.
You just end of game situations. We've talked about this now. Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
Didn't get a good shot at the end of regulation. The Kansas game. Didn't get a good shot. This is three games now where you can point to and say something has to change because these are going to be grinders. And there's going to be moments here.
It's a Big 12.
Through the last month of the season where you're going to have to find a way to win a tight game. And what they've shown on the offensive end is they don't have it right now.
Nope. Unfortunately, you're 100% right. Texas Tech gets into the win column for the first time in conference play. You know, that building, it wasn't too many years ago, like last, it was banged out every single night.
Yeah.
They've just given up on this squad.
Not a very fun team to watch.
No, it's not. I mean,
we heard about the infighting and maybe not payments coming from the NIL.
Yeah, that's true. Did
there was
hear
a
that.
Lot going on there, too.
Oh, that was one that slipped away. Well,
one other thing my buddy Kevin, Cyclone fan, said. Also, remember, blew that 9-point lead in the last 3 minutes against TCU and hit the shot.
Fair point. But excellent point.
Almost blew that game.
You forget about it because it went in their direction.
Right.
That's a great point, Kevin. I did forget about that.
That's we're talking about now.
Finish.
And they're not doing it.
No, they're not. Lipsy looked like a freshman. Feel bad for him last night. I have no idea what some of those passes where they were going. Holmes struggled from three. Kalshier didn't hit one. But you know what? Kalshier, there were 45 minutes of playing time available last night. He played each and every one of them. Got to have him on the floor, right? Got to have him on the floor. Free throws, 12 of 21. They just cannot hit their free throws to save their life. Let's get Jeff in here real quick. We will move on. Jeff, welcome to the program. What's on your mind? What'd you see last night?
Well, I don't know if you touched on it. This was the biggest comeback in Texas Tech history, for one. Number two, and I could be nitpicking here, but, you know, we talked about Iowa State's defense. I thought they were doing a great job funneling to the baseline. Big spot last night. They go into a 1-3-1 zone. I have no idea why. I haven't noticed that they've been playing a 1-3-1 zone. They go right into it. I think it was off of a timeout, right into a dunk on the baseline side. I don't think they've ever went back into the 1-3-1 zone. That was kind of a head scratcher. The other head scratcher was I don't know what happened to Oshuni last night. Oshuni was nowhere to be found.
Mm-hmm.
They run a ton of ball screens defensively on Oshuni. He was just a step and a half slow. And then they throw Jones in there, and yeah, he could do some switching on defense, but offensively, he's just running around with his head cut off.
Yep.
That was tough to see, number two. Number three, I don't know what Iowa State was running with about 6 minutes to go. I understand you want to run some clock, but you don't want to go into stall mode. You guys watch basketball. I coach basketball. I watch basketball. You want to get good shots. You want to get into the paint, go to the free throw line, hopefully make some free throws. You just don't want to hold the ball for about 30 seconds and then jack a shot up. So, but I've seen this in prior games where, yes, they get a lead, but I don't see any sets getting called. Or they've burned a couple timeouts and they save one for late. And then, TJ can't write something up. And we've talked about this before, and it's a little bit of a head-scratcher. I don't see what they're doing offensively, and I'm not seeing any adjustments being made. I just see them holding the basketball until about 30, 28 seconds off the shot clock, and let's just hike a shot up or, maybe do a two dribble pull-up. That's a little nerve-wracking. And now, moving forward, okay, that was a really, really bad loss. Forget about net rankings, whatever. But now you've got Kansas Saturday, okay, at home. Well, let's say you lose a tight one again. You look down the barrel, you still got Texas, Baylor, TCU, on and on and on and on. I'm not going to jump off a building here, but this could be a little bit of a scary couple of weeks for the Clones if they don't bite this in the butt and try to make an adjustment here. You guys have a good day.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. Appreciate the call. Trent, you kind of touched on it. The fact that Iowa State's given up as many points as they are, right? I mean, 76 to K-State. Let a Mizzou hang on them. 78. This was the team that, you're going to keep your opponent into the 60s most of the time. But the last three, I don't know if it's fatigue. I don't know what it is taking its toll, but they're not as tight defensively as they have been, certainly in the beginning of the season.
I put the over-under at 10.5 wins in the conference for Iowa State.
Right now, 10.5, and they've got six. So they've got to find a win five. If I'm going to take the over, okay, let's go through it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're at six right now. In order to go the over, I need five wins. Kansas at home. No. At West Virginia.
I don't think so.
Tough place to play,
it
right?
Is.
No. Oklahoma State, they'll beat them.
Yes.
TCU.
We'll see if Miles is back at that point.
Did you see the injury, by the way?
Yuck.
I was watching it live. I thought he's absolute. Now, the good news is the MRI, it's not as bad as it looked.
No.
It looked terrible.
Now, hyperextended knee, they said they don't have a timetable, so you would guess, but there's no
That's
ACL.
That's middle of February.
Let's say no.
Okay.
Give him a win at home.
That's two. At K-State, nope. At Texas, rather. Nope. Home to Oklahoma.
Yep.
Gotta have it. Gotta have it. Return game with West Virginia. Gotta have it. It's going to come down to in Waco to take on Baylor, if we're right, that's a great number you just came up with. Doesn't that look like it to you?
It does. I mean, just W&L it. Now, the Kansas game could go their way. They absolutely can win that. Ken Pomeroy has them projected to win by a point.
Do they?
So there's one, but...
Yep.
It's going to be tight. This is going to be 10-8, 11-7, something in that range.
Yep.
And from the start that they were off, and to what that is, it's going to be considered a bit of a disappointment.
I think so, too. I mean, look, it would have been a remarkable story for them to win the conference.
Oh,
but
they
put themselves in a position to do so until last night. Yeah, they're only one game out of it. But when you look what they've got to do, you remember how Texas game went when it was here. Mm-hmm. You think it's going to be fun going to Austin? You think K-State's not good? You're just going to roll over and let you guys show up at their place and realize that, no, they're going to remember exactly what happened.
We talked about it yesterday with... I haven't looked at everybody's schedule, but there is no way that the remaining road games that any other team has is as difficult as what Iowa State has. West Virginia, K-State, Texas, and Baylor. That's what you still have left. Good luck. In fact, in all of those games, including the West Virginia game, they're projected to lose at Ken Pomeroy.
Are they really?
Three by West Virginia, two at Kansas State, five at Texas, and four at Baylor.
Yeah, Texas, the K-State number seems a little low. Even though, well, my if his own
analysts
Wilson,
don't love that K-State team.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
I mean, turn the TV on and watch them.
Well, they don't,
tonight. By the way, as much as we bitch about Iowa State being on ESPN Plus, ESPN Plus has tonight? Kansas K-State's
I did
Plus.
Hear that, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
That's a stinger. That's smart.
I'll be watching on my phone. You'll be watching.
Well,
on your
and I'll
iPad.
Be watching Iowa and Northwestern on the Big Ten Network at 8. But yeah, I mean, if that was a 6 o'clock tip on ESPN prior to, all right. So disappointing. So Iowa Northwestern tonight. Trent Northwestern. I've been saying it since it occurred to me watching them early in the year. They're better than normally we see the schedule. Well, there's a win. Right. That's not the case with these Cats this year. They've got some guys on this team. They're not a bad basketball team.
Boo Boo, he's gone from a nice player to a really good player.
He has, most nights, Trent leads them in scoring.
He's taken that step, but it's not just him. It's Barry, who's been around for a while now. And
Adij, you know who I like on that team is the big kid Nicholson.
Yeah.
I like his game.
You know, Adij is a guy that I just don't remember. I mean, this is third year there.
I remember, I remember his name as much as anything.
Right, but he just kind of blended in.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything to him. Nicholson, he's big.
Yep.
They have a couple of big guys. I mean, they play big with him and, was it Baran?
Yep. But he doesn't play a lot.
I think Iowa can get him inside. I don't think Rabracha is going to have certainly the same performance that we saw before, that we saw last time out. Now, against Cliff Amore, a lot of people are going to struggle against him. But
yeah, well, it was his first basket late in the game, right? Yeah. And then he made a bunch of free throws, yeah.
I think he's going to play better, and I think this is a game where Chris, he can eat. I mean, you need Chris Murray to have a big-time performance. If it's going to happen in a breakout, a 28-point night, this is the kind of matchup for him that I think he's got a real advantage that he needs to take advantage of. Iowa needs him because the guards, Ulis and Perkins, strap it on, guys.
Yeah.
You got to be ready to go.
Ulis has been good, though. Ulis has been good his last three, offensively. Mm-hmm. What's the number in this game? Iowa's favored what?
6.5.
It's more than I thought.
6.5, 7 at a couple of spots.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's more than I would have thought.
Same thing analytically. Analytics don't like this Northwestern team. Mm-hmm. They've won a lot of close games. And when you're winning a lot of close games, basically, yeah, you get credit for the win, but not as much credit as you win a game by 8, 10, 12 points. That definitely helps out. So that's behind it. But after this pause, they come out, they beat Wisconsin. We wondered what they were going to look like coming off that pause, who's going to be healthy. Yep.
They've won 3 in a row.
Beat Nebraska, went on the road and won by 15, though. I don't care who you're playing. Mm-hmm. In conference play, you go on the road and win by 15. That's impressive. And then just do what you're supposed to against Minnesota and demolished them.
Yep.
They won by 20. They are playing at a high level here. This is a dangerous
game.
They're
way better than we just recall Northwestern being.
And after, you didn't steal one, but you got the sweep against Rutgers. All right. Play with a little house money. We said 2-1 at minimum. You had to go in this three-game
stretch.
Here's
your chance.
Get to 2-0.
Before Saturday. Saturday or Sunday? Saturday.
Yep. Yeah. A rare Saturday game at Carver Hawkeye Arena.
Oh, my. How about that? All right, good stuff. We will take our time. By the way, there is a good Iowa State news basketball-wise. Jess Kuntz went through pregame last night.
They need him.
And I guess his doctor's appointment, he may get clearance as soon as tomorrow, which means he may be on the floor. In fact, I think at this point, it would be a surprise if he isn't ready to go on Saturday against Kansas. They do need him on the floor, no doubt about that.
He is their best offensive player. Efficiency-wise, you need him back out there. They need more shooting.
Mm-hmm.
They need more on the offensive end and the other things that he can do. He can block a shot. He can rebound. He can do other things on the other end of the floor,
too. What is it with Trey King that TJ's reluctant to play him at the end of the game? Is it not buying in on the defense? Is he
I don't know.
Too handsy on the defensive end of the floor?
He was on there, though. He got the offensive rebound in overtime, and he was the one that kicked it out. So he was out there late in overtime, but yet not as much run as I anticipate. Mm-hmm. And those minutes probably going to dissipate a little bit now with Kuntz coming back.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah, I don't know what it
Jones,
is.
Jones, hopefully, he can take a couple of minutes off of his statistical line as well. Miller and Conn, 11:25. By the way, how about this? We had a winner in the building. KXNO had a winner, Heather and Sean, yesterday afternoon. Way to go, KXNO Drive. Had Lisa Guerrero yesterday as well. And if you missed that, the podcast is up. That was that kicked off their 5 o'clock hour. But there was a winner in the building. Gentleman was from Ankeny. Time for another $1,000 slam dunk. It happens in threes in this building. The bus had one last night as well.
Mm.
So the bus had one, KXNO had one.
So you're saying we're hot.
Well, I'm saying there's a chance. Time for another $1,000 slam dunk. KXNO.com right now. Once you get there, enter the keyword green at KXNO.com. Your chance to win $1,000 in this nationwide contest. KXNO.com, green keyword this hour. Another keyword coming up in an hour. Wade Looking Bill is next. Then Shelby Mast on the Bracket Miller in Condon, Des Moines Sports Station. 106.100
bets off.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 106.3 KXNO. Here's Ken and Trent.
Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO. Let's get right to our friend Wade Looking Bill, former Hawkeye. Helps us weekly during the basketball season. Northwestern Iowa tonight. Big Ten Network has it. It's an 8 o'clock tip, and Wade's with us. Wade, Trent, and Ken, thank you for coming on. How are you, Wade Looking Bill?
I'm really good. Really good. Another big game tonight for Iowa basketball.
Indeed it is. It'd be nice if we could get this one. Trent and I both thought of the next three and needed to get two. They've already got Rutgers. That hay is in the barn. Now one out of the next two. Let's see if it happens tonight. But it's not going to be easy, Wade. I'm sure you've seen this Northwestern team. They're a different team. I mean, Collins has a good team this year. When you see Northwestern, what's changed the most for you as opposed to the last couple of years with this bunch?
You know, it's just really interesting. They lost both their bigs. The one kid's starting for Duke. Pete Nance is starting for Carolina. So they've really had to change the way they play. And they've got, I think, the best backcourt in the Big Ten. Boo Booey and Chase Audige are really skilled. They're veteran kids. You know, I think schools like Northwestern really benefit from that extra year. You know, guys that probably aren't NBA, maybe overseas types of players are coming back to school. So they've got veteran leadership, really good backcourt. I think Chris is, you know, Matt Painter probably is coach of the year because they were picked fourth or fifth, but Chris Collins is in second place, and depending on how the season ends, could definitely be coach of the year. He's done a really good job after losing really all their bigs from last year's team.
You know, a team that you look at some of the numbers there, you mentioned the backcourt is incredibly good. Up front, they have found Nicholson, a seven-footer. He has played well in spurts this year. Now, going up against a guy for somebody like Rabracha, who is 6'9", he's not the tallest center in there. What's it like when you're going up a guy that has 4 or 5 inches? You dealt with that a couple of times in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I think Phillip's in a tough spot because he's not a guy that can stretch defenses. He can't pull out guys and shoot threes. He doesn't pick and pop. He picks and rolls. So it's not the best matchup for him. But I think where Rabracha has been really good against these bigger centers, he kind of struggled with Rutgers this last weekend. But that jump hook and taking his time, drawing fouls, and he's gotten a lot better with his free throws. He had a stretch there where he struggled again, but he's been really good making free throws. So if I'm him, you know, coming off a bad game, get in the flow, jump hook, draw some fouls. He's really good on that pump fake, which I love. Big fan of the pump fake.
We don't. And
try to get them in foul trouble. Yeah, yeah.
What have you seen from Ulis lately? Back-to-back-to-back double-digit games. He had a bunch of turnovers in East Lansing one night, but offensively seems to have found his game. Wade, what's different with him?
He's been much better. I tell you, he's shooting it well from three. I think all those guys, they're just, you know, Iowa's not shooting 27 threes. They're doing a better job taking threes as they come. Now, they were really hot against Rutgers. You know, Patrick was 3 for 3. I don't think that's going to happen. But I think with Aaron Ulis, he's going, you know, 1 for 3, 2 for 5. I know he hit a couple against, you know, these last couple games, but he's not 2 for 7 from three. You know, Tony Perkins is not 1 of 6 from three. And that way, you know, I think the more touches Chris Murray can get, the better. The more they go down low to Rabracha, he gets doubled. Shot's not there for him. Kick it out, then shoot the three. And I think that's where Ulis has been better.
Rutgers, go back to Sunday in that performance. They beat him on the road. They come out. They start off hot again after a slow start and then really got going. Rutgers is one of the best defensive teams in the country. And yet Iowa put 93 on them on Sunday. At Rutgers, they put up 76. They haven't given up 76 to anybody else this year. Is it just a matchup thing? For whatever reason, this Iowa team matches up well with Rutgers, or is it something different?
Well, I mean, you know, Rutgers already beat Purdue, so and I don't know how the schedules match up, but I would venture to guess Iowa might be the only team to sweep Rutgers this year. So I think that's something, because that's a really good basketball team, and that's a potential second weekend type of team in the tournament. They're a potential Sweet 16. They got veteran leadership. They don't shoot it great, but they got rim protection inside. I think I would just, you know, it was punch, counterpunch. They got up 10-12, then Rutgers made a little run. I think in the past, sometimes Iowa teams tend to not respond to that. They did, and it was something where, you know, Chris was really good. He was, you know, he had 22-23, but he didn't get 34, where in the past, I think they've had to have big games from him. It was great with having Patrick back to see him even out on the court. And even if Patrick McCaffrey would have gone 1-for-9, that still would have given Iowa some energy. Now, by the way, he went 3-for-3 from three, had some rebounds, but he's a piece. If they can get him back healthy, he's going to really help this team.
Is he a bench piece going forward, do you think, or at least coming off the bench?
I don't think they'll start him the rest of the year. I think Fran is so – that's a big thing for him, just that having that starting five ingrained. And Fran's substitution pattern is really unique. Like, watch tonight. They'll play through all starters through the first TV timeout, and sometimes even four of the five will play through the second TV timeout. They'll bring Peyton in as kind of the first guy off the bench, but it's just a really unique philosophy in that when you start, you're going to play and play and play. I think they're just going to keep, you know, Patrick, and it looked like he was a little winded this weekend, just which is understandable. There's a difference between practice shape and game shape, but you know, you forget he had 22-14 against Wisconsin. He had some big games before he really had that, you know, emotional or the mental problems. He was their second best player, so if they can get him back off the bench, that gives them some spark.
Wade Look and Bill joining us as we talk some Iowa hoops. This Iowa team then gets Illinois coming up after this one against Northwestern, a big homestand for this team. You know, the Big Ten as a whole, we know Purdue is the best. Northwestern is second in the standings right now. Who is your second best team in this conference?
I think it's Illinois. I know Shannon was bad the other day, but even without him, they beat, who'd they beat bad at home? Was it Wisconsin?
Yeah.
They all kind of blend together, but they got some pieces, and they got some pros on that team. You know, Shannon's going to get drafted. The mayor kid, the transfer from Baylor, might get drafted. I think Coleman Hawkins is coming out after this year. He's probably a second rounder. They're really good, and it's just not a great matchup for Iowa. That's why I think tonight is really important.
Yeah.
You know, this is a game where Northwestern has beaten teams that Iowa has not, and they beat teams, you know, where Iowa's gotten blown out at Nebraska, and they won at Ohio State. I mean, they won at Michigan State, I think, even. They've had some big
games. They did, yes, they did.
Really struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, years ago, this was check the box. You know, beat Northwestern at home. Sometimes on the road, they would get one of their four or five conference wins. But here's the thing with Iowa. They got 10 games left. If you look at the schedule, it's not that bad. If they can go 6-4, and that's not a stretch, you know, that's losing at Nebraska, losing at Purdue, losing at Wisconsin, losing at Purdue. Say even they get beat Saturday against Illinois, 6-4 is very realistic. And that's 11-9. I think that's good enough to get in, and then just see what happens after that.
Look at their losses this year. I'm speaking of Northwestern. They lost to Auburn, who was at the time top 15. They lost to Pitt, who's right there at the top of the ACC. Granted, it's not that strong this year. Ohio State beat Iowa convincingly after they lost 4 or 5 in a row. So
and that was a 1-point game, wasn't it?
And that was very close. Yes.
Yeah.
Rutgers, who we think is a really good team, they lost at Michigan, and that's it. So it's not like they've got a bad loss on their docket so far, Wade. This is a better team than we talked about. Than Chris Collins has a squad.
He's doing a great job. Again, sometimes schools like Northwestern, you know, kids use it almost like a stepping stone. Like those two kids transferred out.
Yeah.
And I think it's ironic in that you could argue that right now, you know, the one kid went to Duke, one kid went to Carolina. Northwestern might have a better team than both those schools right now. which you would never have said that in the past. But he's done a great job, and they got some good players. And they're coming in tonight thinking, hey, you know, you start talking about the Big Ten tournament, get that bye, mm-hmm. get that double bye, which is really important. Then you talk about seeding for the NCAA tournament. And Iowa's margin for error is small. You know, they lost by 20 at Nebraska. They lost at home to Wisconsin, who we thought was good, but they're not very good. And even that Penn State game, you know, that's one that you think, hey, maybe we can compete there. But their margin for error is really small. They need a good effort tonight.
Finally, Wade, it will be officially now the honoring of Chris Street this evening. I know the Street family is going to be in attendance there. Certainly going to be a good environment, though, over there in Carver-Hawkeye. I know Connor McCaffrey, he was asking as many people to get out there as possible. Tough on a Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, but certainly hope a lot of people are able to get over there, not just for the game, but also everything else going around it.
Yeah, it's just kind of the end of the remembrance, I think is the right word. You know, it's just so ironic that we were supposed to play Northwestern mm-hmm. the night Chris was killed the next day, and they had to postpone that, and they had to postpone the game with Northwestern because of, you know, issues. But maybe there's just a little bit of added motivation. It, like you said, though, it is tough to get over there. I would love to go, but I can't. I got some stuff going on. It's, you know, Tuesday at 8 o'clock, and it's 8 below. But I hope they get a good crowd. Students are back. You know, the Iowa team's fun to watch. They get out. They're exciting. And just I think Saturday's a sellout, and a part of that is because there'll be a lot of Illinois fans there. But Iowa, as they get better, the home schedule's pretty good now here the rest of the way out. Get out, support the Hawks.
Yeah, I'm with you. And, you know, if there is a silver lining that they had the COVID shutdown, the Chris Street special aired in prime time, so more people saw it than would have had they, you know, stick around until after the game. So, anyways, Wade, we'll speak with you next week. Thank you for doing this, Wade.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate
Thank you.
It. Thank
Wade,
you.
Yep, Wade Looking, Bill. Take care as we look into tonight's Northwestern-Iowa matchup. 6.5?
6.5.
6.5 and some sevens?
I like the under.
What's that total?
148.
That's where you'll be as a part of your plays of the day coming up in about an
hour.
It
is. We need to bounce back.
Uh-oh, one of those stinkers last night?
0-3, got beat on a buzzer beater.
It's going to happen.
And head South Dakota, plus 15.5.
And you had Chicago State.
Yeah, and they came back and hit one at the horn.
Right at the buzzer.
To beat Austin Ash, who had 24 for the Citadel. And of course, had Iowa State. Counting the money on that one.
You're home free. It's 11:45. Shelby Mast, bracketwag.com is his site. He is the bracketologist for the Gannett newspapers. He joins us weekly here as we inch our way to Selection Sunday. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3.
Affiliates and third-party insurers.
Hi, welcome back. Miller and Condon. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. As we've done over the last handful of years, we rely on our bracketologist, Shelby Mast. He is founded bracketwag.com. That's his site, bracketwag.com. Shelby brackets does the brackets for the Gannett newspapers, etc., on a bunch of radio stations all over the country, including this radio program, and he's back with us. Hello, Shelby. Trent and Ken, as always, thanks for signing up to do this for another year. We certainly appreciate it. How are you? I better press the button, Shelby. How are you?
I'm cold, but I'm good.
Attaboy. Well, we appreciate you coming on. So, obviously, the Big 12 is where I want to start with you for a couple of reasons. Iowa State losing in the fashion they did to, at the time, a winless Texas Tech conference-wise team. And then I want to go back to the Big 12 SEC Challenge, in particular, Oklahoma's big win. Let's start there and then get to Iowa State. Oklahoma, when they knocked off Alabama, what did that do to your bracket?
That moved them in. They're just above the play-in games. They don't have a spectacular record, but I think they have shown what they can do against tough competition, and I don't think anybody realistically projected them to win that game.
Conversely, what did you do to Alabama after that loss?
That knocked them off the one line. Yeah. It's hard to stay on the one line and take a 30-point loss, no matter who it's to.
Shelby, there's a couple of teams that matter here that we just saw last night with Texas Tech. Everybody looks at the 0-8 record. Oh, what an awful loss. Well, metrically, it's not an awful loss. They are rate very highly in a lot of the metrics there. They've lost so many close games that they don't rate poorly. And then on the other side tonight, Iowa sees Northwestern. You see them second in the Big Ten. You say, well, they're pretty good. Well, the metrics don't like them. When it comes to bracketing and the new metrics that come in, you know, how big of a piece is that? Maybe the separation between what a bad loss and a good loss kind of are as you go through the process.
Well, the committee has kind of, they rely on the metrics. They say they watch all the games. I don't know whether they do or not, but the metrics is what we have to go by based on what the committee has done. Last year, I think Providence was, they were ranked real high in the polls. They had a spectacular record, but the metrics weren't on their side. And so they still got a little bump up because they were good. I don't think the metrics are end-all, be-all, but they are relied on.
So Iowa State, to back up this point, they're still on the true seed list. They're still number 10. Where were they prior to the game last night?
They were number 8.
So it knocked down a couple of spots.
Right.
So that would have put them on the 2 line going into the game last night, correct?
Correct. I've had them 2 line since Friday.
Yeah.
And that Missouri game was a tough game. You know, the SEC, that was one of the few games they won, but other games matter also, and there wasn't enough for me to knock them down. But after last night, I couldn't keep them on the 2 line.
So you have all but one Big 12 team in?
No, I don't have Tech or Oklahoma State.
Oh, sure, Texas. Yeah, right. Gotcha. Okay.
But
Oklahoma State is first 4 out or close to it?
They're second 4 out.
Gotcha.
Still a chance.
Still a chance.
Still a chance to get there.
Yeah.
Well, amongst your last 4 in is the Iowa Hawkeyes. You have Iowa on the 11 line against Arizona State. That'd mean another trip out to Dayton for the Hawkeyes. How tenuous is their resume right now?
Don't call it a play-in game.
Yeah. The Eastern Illinois loss, we've talked about that with you before, Shelby. It's going to be an anchor all season long. But when you look through the way the Big Ten plays out and the like, it just this. You look at the resume, it's a weird one, and it kind of shows up. You have on the 11 line. I see a bracket matrix that has all the brackets out there. They're as high as a 6, they're as low as a 12. I mean, a wide-ranging opinion with this Hawkeye resume. What do you see when you dig in?
Yeah, I got to think they're going to factor McCaffrey being out for 6 games. That depends on how they play since he's back.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't run, that's going to bump them up a little bit. If they keep doing what they're doing and just kind of, I mean, win one, lose one, you know, I think they'll probably stay where they're at. They can obviously fall out, but they've got a shot if they can prove that McCaffrey was that big a part of the team to give them a little bump up, then their previous games without him will kind of be overlooked.
So Purdue you have as the overall number 1 seed. I don't think too many people would argue that. You got to go all the way down to 21 in the true seed list to find the second-ranked Big Ten team, which is a pretty big gap, 1 to 21 for Big Ten team. But that team is Rutgers, who Iowa has beaten twice. How far does that go to kind of balance the scales a little bit amongst those big losses, one of which Trent was referring to?
Yeah, if Rutgers stays up there, and Iowa stays close, that sweep of Rutgers will be big because that is 2 wins over a 1A, quad 1A. I think it's 1 through 15. They designate that as a 1A win. And so there ain't too many teams that have that. It'd be tough to keep them out if it comes down to that. But compared to somebody else, I got to say that's a big chip for them.
You know, another thing here is the quad one victories. You know, that it's a measurement. You see some people talk about quad one, what you do there. Those are going to be tournament teams. That matters more than any other. Combine quad one and quad two together and just get rid of everything else. Iowa right now has the 8th most wins against Quad 1, which is crazy to think about with this Iowa team because they've been so inconsistent this year. What is something that you think marries with what the selection committee, because that's ultimately all this is, trying to figure out what the selection committee does. When you break it down, Quad 1, Quad 2, what matters the most usually with the selection committee?
I think the Quad 1 road win.
Okay.
That is a big thing. You've got to be able to prove that you can win against good teams away from your arena. And if you got a lot of road wins, that's going to go a long way come Selection Sunday.
Play a hypothetical with me. We've got Kansas K-State tonight in Lawrence. If K-State goes in there and beats them again, you've got them on the true seed list as six, so they're on the two line. You've got Kansas as the third true seed behind Purdue, Tennessee. Is there a chance that those two schools would flip-flop, Shelby, if K-State beats them tonight, or is that too much?
I think that's fair to say. It depends on Arizona and Alabama, what they do this week, but I can see that being a real possibility. I had K-State on the one line last week, and then I did my full scrub on Friday, and I couldn't keep them there. But they have a very, very strong case for a one seed.
Always fun to look at the mid-majors. The team's kind of out of nowhere. We saw College of Charleston ranked for quite a while before they lost over the weekend. The other team is Florida Atlantic. And talk about having no history. They've only made the NCAA tournament once in their whole program history. What do you think of this Owls team? What do you think? The resume? I mean, there's not a whole lot of depth to it, but they're 21-1.
Yeah, that's an awfully good record. I don't care if you're a mid-major, low major, high major, what. You win almost all your games like that, that's impressive. And I got to believe they may have done enough. I don't want to say it just yet, but if they still got one loss come mid-February, it's going to be awful tough to keep them out in March.
BracketWag.com. Shelby updates the site each and every day. Today being no different. It'll be about somewhere around 11 o'clock our time. Give or take about an hour, right, Shelby? But it gets up there each and every night following the night's action. BracketWag.com. Shelby, thank you. We'll talk to you in a week. Appreciate it.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Shelby Mass, BracketWag.com for his site. So Northwestern currently second in the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
Has him on the 8 line.
Yeah. 9 line.
Nine line, even worse.
But that's the Big Ten, right?
Yeah, and it's like you said, analytics don't love them.
No, not at all.
Don't love them.
Rutgers a 6. Michigan State an 8. Northwestern a 9.
Jeez.
Iowa on the 11 line. Maryland on the 11 line. It's just, what are the metrics, teams that the metrics like? So Ohio State, well, they can't win a game.
Right.
Except against Iowa.
Yeah, and they did so convincingly. Yeah. All right, hour number two, we will start more basketball conversation. Huge game in the Valley tomorrow night. Adam Emenecker will be on the call. Bally Sports Network, channel 671 on DirecTV. Panthers, Bulldogs, but if you can, Des Moines' hometown team, they'd love to have a good crowd down at the Knapp Center. In-state game, Panthers are playing well. Bulldogs playing well. Adam Emenecker joins us next. We'll talk Big 12 with Matt Postens from Heartland College Sports at 12:30. Plays of the day still to come. Hour two next, 106.3.